We begin the liturgical year with Jesus entering into the Jordan and being baptized by John. Now John comes there and he's preaching a message of repentance, making straight the paths of the Lord. And this Jesus shows up, and the witness of the Spirit and God the Father's voice that is heard, this witness draws us to a tremendous reality that Jesus came to forgive sin. And this awareness of being forgiven teaches us how important it is to forgive. This being a redeemed people, in other words, God paying the price for our redemption, redeeming us, so to speak, from the effects of our sinfulness, is the key message of Christ, to bring to us the peace that comes from forgiveness. We have an obligation, once we have been forgiven our sins, to forgive others. We can't keep things within our hearts, especially those that hurt us or those who have done wrong against us. We have an obligation to forgive them. We say in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who sin against us or trespass against us. Basically, what that means is, God, forgive me in the same way I forgive everyone else. If I hold something against my brother, well, I want you to hold things against me. That would be foolishness. There would be no redemption then. We need to take the example that Christ set for us. He was humble and went into the Jordan and was baptized, though he didn't need it, to show us how absolutely essential it is for the forgiveness of sins. Now, those of us who are Christian, we become Christian through that great forgiveness. God set things right again. We thrust God out. He comes and through baptism re-enters into the soul of a person, thereby enabling them, once forgiven, to know what it is, once again, to carry God within. The Trinity dwelling within each and every one of us not only is the means of our forgiveness through the sacrament of reconciliation, but it is our means of forgiving others. It gives us the power to forgive others. So therefore, forgiveness is the first element of our redemption. Christ came to forgive our sins. And how did he do it? He came to die. We recognize that there has to be that death. There has to be that redemption. We offended God. And through our personal sinning over and over and over again, we continually offend God. And so God, in his infinite mercy, the Father, sends his only begotten Son to manifest his mercy, his forgiveness to each and every person on this earth. He came to return to the Father what you and I, through our sinfulness, denied him. And that is the return of love. That's all God ever wanted. That's all he ever wanted from us. He created us solely so that he could have someone to love. And in receiving every single thing around us from God, our most loving and affectionate Father, the natural response, the proper response, the holy response, is to return that love to the God who created us, the God who keeps us in existence, the God who loved a soul into each and every one of us. This is how we begin our liturgical year, by looking at this love made flesh and seeing this child grow before our eyes through the teachings of sacred scripture, recognizing that our faith that we receive in baptism must grow in the exact same way. It must bear fruit. And the fruit of our baptism is forgiveness, our own. And even though we may sin over and over again, God is in his infinite mercy, seeks to forgive us. He offers to us over and over again the beauty of being forgiven, knowing that the difference between a saint and a sinner is one confession, that God doesn't see the fall, but rather the rising from the fall. That is the great gift that Jesus gives us. That is the great gift that baptism opens up to each and every one of us, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of being able to forgive others. In forgiving them, we heal the wounds that our enemies or those who hurt us cause. They cause wounds within us, and they are not responsible for healing them because God gave us the means to heal them ourselves through forgiveness. By forgiving over and over and over again those who hurt us, we literally heal the wounds that they've caused within us. Don't make your peace, your happiness, your joy, your healing contingent on whether or not they even want forgiveness. Forgive and forgive over and over again until the wounds inside are healed. It is my responsibility to heal those wounds. It isn't the responsibility of those who hurt me. Maybe, given a chance, they do it again. So why should I forgive them? To heal the wounds within myself. Once those wounds are healed, once we really know the power that forgiveness offers to each one of us, we then can get on with really living. It is only once we have forgiven our enemies, once we have recognized our sinfulness, and we have sought that forgiveness from Christ, no matter how many times, that we get up from our sin, there we will find, in that forgiveness, in that restoration to grace that Christ offers to us at every moment of our lives, then we will truly be able to live in the power of the resurrection. Then Christ resurrects in each and every one of us. Then we can be the catalyst for the resurrection of Christ in those who surround us, in our friends, in our enemies, in our families, in those we love, and in even those who hate us. We must love our enemies. God doesn't tell us we have to like them, but we do have to love them. And in loving them, we find that love of self that we are called to be. Love others as you love yourself. Well, the self that we love is the resurrected Christ within each and every one of us, and that comes through forgiveness. And that peace that we will find in forgiving others, that peace that God offers to us in this beautiful teaching of Him being baptized in the Jordan and coming specifically to forgive us our sins will be the very joy, the catalyst that makes us true Christians.